You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Perhaps no country has as intense an association of guns with freedom in its popular culture as does the USA. And one manifestation of this is the militia movement. This movement has been rapidly expanding in the past few years. Why this is so and other questions about the militia movement attracted the attention of two Swedish journalists, writer Anna Roxvall and photographer Johan Persson. So they traveled to the U.S. to investigate. Now back in Sweden, Anna Roxvall joins us on the phone. Welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, Anna.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Let's start with the belief system that brings an American to join a militia. What would you say are the key elements of that belief system?
For a person, what really ties the militia members together is that they consider themselves prepared to defend the Constitution if the government tries to abolish it. And in that lies also this perception that the government will try to abolish the Constitution in a rather near future, usually, and they are prepared to defend it by force with their weapons, so to speak. And they also consider the militia the guarantee against authoritarian rule in their country. So, yeah, that's the main idea.
And why do they how do they explain that the government is on the verge of abandoning the American Constitution?
Those are many different things that they mention, but what really sets people off is laws like the Patriot Act, for example, the bailouts, the bank bailouts that were recently where you know, banks were helped but ordinary people were not. Also, gun control. Because they consider it to be the first step towards authoritarian rule is when you confiscate people's guns in order for them not to be able to defend themselves. So, but for every militia, you know, they have their own. There are a few buttons that, you know, they feel have been pushed. So they all consider the Constitution to be in danger. That's what really links them together.
And the key aspect of the Constitution is this Second Amendment, the right to bear arms of citizens. Is that their thinking?
Yes. In the Constitution, there is the Second Amendment, which states that a well-regulated militia is a guarantee for a free state, and therefore it's necessary to the security of a free state, and therefore you are not allowed to ban guns. You know, you should never stop the population from owning guns. I don't have the exact meaning in front of me right now, but that's the idea of it, and that's what really, you know, they base their whole existence on, of course, because they have the Second Amendment of the Constitution where it clearly states that they have the right to build militias and arm themselves. So if someone tries to stop them from that, that is the first sign of the Constitution being abandoned, if you understand what I mean.
Do you find that they combine this with any racist prejudice, white supremacist attitudes, hatred of Hispanics or blacks?
Some groups do. I mean, this whole foundation of the militia movement with the idea of the Constitution, that is later on also being connected to a lot of different sets of ideas, depending on which groups you meet. You find groups that focus a lot on, so to speak, border control towards Mexico. You have groups who focus more on survivalist ideas. You have groups that are definitely more racist and combine this with a racist ideas. you know, you have many different groups that use this foundation, and then they add different thoughts onto it. And yes, some groups are definitely racist, but it would be wrong to say that they all are.
The militia members are usually thought of, I think, stereotypically as being on the right of the political spectrum and therefore pro-war in their beliefs. How did these movements relate to the wars America has been waging in the last decade?
That's actually the interesting part of it, because they belong to that political right that is opposed to these wars, because they feel that the government is becoming too big and getting involved in matters that it should definitely not worry about. It should only focus on its own state and not start any wars abroad or anything like that. So most militias are very anti-war, actually. I haven't met any members that feel that kind of foreign policy is the right path to choose for America, no.
Did you find that the people who joined the militias often shared backgrounds, experiences, occupations?
It's a rather widespread movement, and it's very difficult to say exactly who the typical militia member is. You have everything from people with high income jobs to people who are unemployed and in a bad situation. But I would definitely say that the situation right now with the bad economy and people feeling abandoned by their government is definitely pushing more people towards the militia movement, and they are agreeing to it themselves, that's really what's spurring the movement right now. So it's definitely more people who are feeling insecure and feeling that the foundations of their lives are being robbed right now that join the militia.
Do they? I mean, there's a focus on armed resistance to the government. There's a focus on training with guns. Are these people who have a lot of, or some of them anyway, have a lot of experience before in armed training?
And that is, I think, the reason why there is a big discussion going on about the militia movement right now in the U.S., because most authorities they can see in their in their study of these groups that there are more and more ex-military, ex-FBI police officer, law enforcement officers joining the militias right now. Also, veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq that are becoming more and more involved in the movement. Which also means that, you know, the movement gets a lot of battle experience. You know, these are people who actually know how to go to war. So that raises some questions for those who are concerned about the situation in the U.S. right now.
You've referred to them being many groups and so on. Are most of them sort of smaller, independent operating, or are there efforts to combine and to unify these various groups of militias?
I'd say mainly, I mean, between 2009 and 2010, the number of militia groups grew from 512 to 824. That's militia and patriot groups that are being lumped together there. And that's the number of groups that have increased. The number of members, I'm not so sure, have increased, because I get the impression that most of them prefer to be smaller units. I think because what they're really preparing for is some kind of a guerrilla warfare, and it's not very convenient to be, you know, several hundreds of men in one unit to try to coordinate. So most of these groups are, I'd say, among, you know, from 20 to 50 people per group, I'd say. And then there are, of course, examples of the opposite, but yeah. I get the impression that there are not so many in each group.
You referred to their growth and gave us just now some numbers indicating some significant growth in the number of groups, and you linked that a bit. I'm wondering if you could expand on that to a current economic crisis that not just America but certainly Americans are faced with. How do they talk about that crisis, and how does that fit into their sense of desperation and motivation?
Well, the thing is that the last time the militia movement was strong was during the 90s, and it was a similar situation then. They had a democratic president, and they also had an economic downturn in the U.S., and that's the time, you know, when these old ideas of government versus people come up. You know, they're always there. The whole U.S. was founded on some kind of distrust between the people and its government. You know, they felt that there needed to be a lot of mechanisms to stop the government from intruding into people's lives. But that feeling is not as vivid when times are good, because then people can focus on working, making money, and you know, building their lives. But when the bad economy hits, these kind of ideas they flare up again, and they really motivate those people who might have been on, you know, on this track before when it comes, you know, politically, their way of thinking, but would never get organized. But this is what really pushes them into the movement and to start actually, you know, to take their gun and start training together with their friends. I would say the crisis is definitely fueling this movement right now.
Is the U.S. Government, various of its agencies, monitoring these groups? And if it is, what indication of response do you have from the U.S. government to this phenomenon?
They're definitely monitoring it. Everybody feels monitored, and you know, there are also reports from Department of Homeland Security, for example, about the militia movement. So definitely they are in a really tricky situation where they, of course, would like to contain this kind of movement, but they are not allowed, first of all, according to the Constitution, but second of all, it would definitely not be very wise either, because the minute they try to clamp down on these groups, it would be considered as an act of war and the first step towards dictatorship in the U.S., and that's when these groups would definitely get ready, bring their guns, and you know, cause a lot of trouble. So they have to be very cautious in their way of dealing with the groups. Of course, they have to monitor them for those individuals who might be prepared to go a bit further and maybe, you know, do something similar to what Timothy McVeigh, who was quite inspired by the militia movement, did in the 90s. Those kind of individuals need to be tracked down, but at the same time, the rest of the movement cannot be allowed to feel that they are being treated in an unfair way, because that could spur even more problems. So it's a difficult situation for them, definitely.
I've been speaking with Anna Roxvall. She's a journalist in Sweden, and together with photographer Johan Persson, Anna Roxvall recently traveled to the U.S. to research the militia movement in that country. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.